Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be covering the 18th perek of Sefer Shoftim. Our story has gone from strange and will get to stranger as we continue. We know that there's this personal shrine that Micha has, well, you know, his basement shrine where local, easy to get to, all the folks in the Hore Ephraim, and they go to this local shrine. What we're about to see is as that increases to the national scale. So we're in the middle of the story, where the tribe of Dan feels that they have not enough portion in the land. We saw this actually in Yehoshua. Dan felt that they didn't have enough space and territory. So what they do is they dispatch 5 meraglim to go search out areas that they can conquer. And these meraglim are moving northwards through the land of Israel, and they're actually going to end up in the area of Lebanon today, searching for a area to conquest territory for themselves. As they happen to be going up, they arrive at the city, the area of Micha, and they recognize the Levi, who is acting, this Yonatan individual, who is acting as the priest of the shrine of Micha. And they say, you know, we remember you. He must have been recognized from an era Levium that he used to live before. And they say, what are you doing here? So he says, well, you know, I got a good deal. Micha pays my board and, you know, and he gives me a good salary. I'm all happy and I got the shrine here. So I said, okay, that sounds great. Tell us, are we going to be successful in this? Can you ask Hashem? And he says, no, Hashem, you're going to go in the right way. God wants you to go in the right way. Okay, good. They set off on their way. They go all the way north, and they find this city called Laish. Laish is a city which seems to be aligned with the Sidonim, which is further up the coast. There is sort of Phoenicia area, but they're far from their allies, the Phoenicians, and they're a very quiet, peaceful city. So they think this is a great opportunity. They come back down to the tribe of Dan, and they say, we got to go now. Let's go do it. This is a perfect city. We can go conquer this. And they grab their people. They put together a nice war effort of a few hundred soldiers, 600 soldiers. They gear up and they take their families. They are so confident about this battle that they bring their families. They're going to, you know, colonialize this area and bring, you know, settle down immediately as they've conquered it. And they make their way up again. As they make their way up, they pass by, of course, through the hills of Ephraim. They pass by the shrine of Micha. So as they get there, you know, you can imagine all the soldiers camp out outside the city, and the 5 spies from a few weeks back walk in and they just go and start unloading the shrine. They start taking all the idols to go along with them. And so the Levi, who is obviously quite, you know, involved and clearly sees what's going, and says, "What are you doing?" So they said, "Well, we're taking this with us. Well, why are you getting so worried about this? You know, we got a better deal. Don't stick around with Micha. Instead of being a private shrine, you can be a national shrine. Join us." And just like that, boom! And he picks up and he goes. Very volatile sense of loyalty over here, and he just jumps straight in, goes in with these Danites, and he joins the bandwagon and carries on with their war effort. As this is happening, as they're just walking away from the town, out runs Micha himself, and he says, "What's going on? What are you doing?" And they turn around and said, "Well, what are you getting so upset about?" He said, "What am I getting upset about? You've taken everything of mine. What else do I have?" And they said, "Look, you know, Micha, if we were you, we would tone down our voice a little bit, because, you know, there might be people get upset and hurt you." And under the threat of death, Micha turns around dejected and walks back to the town, and they hijack this the Pesel of Micha to the tribe of Dan. They go up to this city, Laish, which is sitting peacefully by itself, no neighbors near around, nobody to save it, and they conquer and destroy it and burn it to the ground and restart the city as a city of Dan, and they establish the Pesel. And it says that the Pesel was established under the auspices of this Levi in a shocking way, Ad Yom Galois Aretz, till the day of the exile. And they had this all the time that the Mishkan was in Shiloh. That's what how the Perek ends. Very strange story on so many accounts. This whole episode is strange. First of all, something just to notice about this story is that Dan is out of territory, and that he doesn't feel like he has enough space. But the funny thing is that they're surrounded, as is clear to us, by non-Jewish remaining Canaanite nations. But they don't seem to be wanting or willing to fight them. Isn't it interesting? They go up to these Sidonim, who live in the far, far north, outside of their territory, to create their little colony. Which goes to show you, like, sort of like the skewedness of this. They should really be attacking the people around them. At the very least, they should attack the Plishtim, who are in their territory, and they don't. They're looking for the easy way out, and they go and attack a nation which is certainly not even one of the 7 nations of Israel, and has nothing to do with Israel. Which is a little strange. Then when you see this over here, this also makes you think in terms of the moral caliber of what's going on over here. You know, here you have Dan, who's consulting with Avodah Zarah, who's going to conquer and burn to the ground a city who had nothing to do with Israel. And the way this city is described is peaceful, no problems, keeps to themselves. And you think to yourself, who's really who's the moral champion of this chapter? And, you know, ultimately speaking, it sounds like, you know, the non-Jewish city was doing a much better job than the people who came down and burnt it down just to take extra territory. This is not part of the conquest of Yeshua. This is not part of the conquest of the land. This is just extra territory seeking because they weren't willing to do the job in their city, which is a comment on the moral status of Israel, this very dark point in history. When they come to this shrine, it's interesting that they ask him to consult with God. So how's this working? Is this shrine really Avodah Zarah? Is it not really Avodah Zarah? What they're looking for, what they're asking for? So there's a debate, actually, which has a halachic ramification, where the Radak suggests that there's a debate as to whether all the names of Elohim, Hashem's name, in this whole section, these two prokim, 17 and 18, are in fact Kodesh or Chol. Is this referring to God or is it not referring to God? And that means to say, can you erase them? If you had a Tanakh, can you erase those names where it says Elohim or Elohim? Is it God's name or is it not God's name? And that debate really underlies the fact that the Mefarshim are trying to work out, is this real Avodah Zarah, which Shemichah set up and they're hijacking? Or is this no? They really wanted to serve God. They just felt that this is the way to get to God. This is maybe a way of divining through these trophim, through this Levi. Most of the Mefarshim take the second approach, that they really wanted to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were just using it through this channel, and of course that's disallowed. But it was a skewed way, a twisted way of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see, here's just a very fascinating point, when Micha's running out after these people, he says, Mali Od, what, I don't have anything else. What else do I have left when you take this shrine? It's interesting that Micha, in a certain sense, identified himself with the shrine to the degree that when it was taken away, what else do I have? You know, and we have to ask ourselves as well, the same question is, do we identify ourselves with one aspect of our lives, or are we broader than that? When that goes away, when that one aspect of our life is no longer there, are we still somebody? Do we have an identity independent of certain aspects of our achievements? Very interesting question, just to think about in contemporary terms. Last thing to think about in this parak is that the timeline of this is really remarkable. We're told that we're given two timelines in this parak. One is that the Pesel Micha was here as a national shrine until the days of Golos, or until all the time the Mishkan was up. Those seem to be two different time frames. Some of Farshim try to put the two together by saying, yeah, well, when the Mishkan was destroyed in the times of Shmuel and Eli, that's when that was the Galois Aretz, that was a mini exile, and that's when the shrine lasted. Whereas other Mefarshim will say that Rashi says even until the times of Sancheriv, real Galois in the Northern Kingdom. That's hundreds of years later, which is a shocking statement. That means to say that there's a variable amount of time that this shrine could have existed. The Malbim points out that yes, the reason why this existed was because Zeh l'umas Zeh, meaning all the time there was a Mishkan in Shiloh, and certainly maybe even after that, as some of the Mefarshim say, there is always going to be this tandem power that the Jews can go and they can go worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan and later on in the Mikdash, but there is always going to be this space and this dark place where people could also worship. It's going to be the dark mark against Israel all the way throughout history. And it's going to be one of the criticisms which will actually be the introduction to the next section of Peleg Esh B'Giva. Tomorrow we'll start with that. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.